Good day and welcome to The Insider. Thank you all for joining me on the first season, and I welcome you to the season 2 of The Insider. I am Kayode Sunny. One major argument that I've lingered on in the Nigerian society is whether religion remains one of the major stumbling blocks to Nigeria or not. These and more is what we shall be unwrapping on this week's episode of The Insider with my guest, Dr. Praise Akinwande, a theologian and a public affairs analyst. Do enjoy.
Such a pleasure to be back with you, Dr. Praise, on another episode of The Insider. Today, you know, we're looking at the topic, religion, a curse or a blessing to Nigeria's development, to Nigeria. So what led to this topic was the fact that a lot has been happening over the past few months in Nigeria. Religion has sort of brought about killings, you know, people killing in the name of God, people fighting in the name of God, people hating each other in the name of God. And you wonder, is religion not meant to, you know, serve as a conduit for progress, or it should be a source of peace? You know, some people say their religion is the religion of peace, but sometimes we see violence, you know. The other party says, I have peace in this religion, but a lot is going on right now as far as religion is concerned in Nigeria. But first of all, let's look at religion itself. What's the whole idea of religion? What's the whole essence of religion as far as country is concerned, the country and nation building is concerned?
You see, I'm going to answer that question from what Charles G.S. Spurgeon said. Charles G.S. Spurgeon was the 18th century revivalist. He said, there is always a God-shed vacuum in every man, and it is only God that can fill it. You see, we are all created, and we find ourselves in this celestial paths. Nobody knows where it came from. We find ourselves here. And we find ourselves in this environment, living, trying to occupy this hemisphere. But as a man begins to live, he realizes that there is a vacuum in his life. There is a drive. There is an emptiness. There is a void which he must fill. At any particular point in time, no matter your aspiration, no matter your drive, no matter your desire, you will aspire to achieve certain things in the heart to a level where you feel incapacitated. So there is always a question that always gets to the mind of every individual. And because that question is there, religion is just an abridged phenomenon.
Abridged phenomenon.
Yes.
Why do you use the word abridged?
No, because it is fragmented.
Okay.
It is multi-dimensional. It is so wide, and it is a mystery. And trying to bring it closer to our understanding, to our level of comprehension, that's why I use the word abridged. Now, there are so many questions that we need answers to, that we are not getting answers to. And so religion came as a way to answer some of these pertinent questions. And I can tell you, religion is good. Because without religion, we will not understand ourselves better. We won't understand the world we are living in better. We won't be able to understand and accept what we cannot see. And then we'll not be able to use what we can see to interpret what we cannot see in order to bring out a holistic approach to life issue. So, as much as man exists on earth, there will be questions he cannot answer.
So, what are these questions that man can't answer?
I'm going to give you like 3 or 4.
Okay.
No man knows where he has come from.
Even despite the theory of evolution?
despite the theory of evolution, despite the theory of creationism, and you see that people have different views about where we came from. And so nobody can actually substantiate and say, this is the correct ideology of where the man comes from. And what gives you the probability that the theory of evolution is correct? If it is absolutely correct, then there won't have been any other theory apart from evolution. So we have different forms of theories defining where man has come from. Now, why when you have these theories is the basic need for religion. Because all these theories came from a belief. And that is what religion is all about. Now, apart from where a man came from, which is one of the questions that have been agitating. The second question that have been agitating the mind of man is that, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? When a child is born, everybody is happy. But when a person is going, everybody is sad. You know, a while ago, I was in a state of mind, just a couple of minutes ago, before you came in. Something happened that made me to remember my mom that passed on in 2017. And this has been for 5 years. I was going through some documents and I was very, very emotionally down. Now that is a question that is agitating the mind of man. When we come and when we depart from this place, where are we going? Then another question which has agitated the mind of man, and you can definitely find answer to, is that what is the propensity to determine success in life? Is it fingers are not equal? Why would fingers not be equal? Why are some people born rich? Why are some people born poor? Why are some people have, despite the fact that they will labor and labor and labor and labor in life, they will still die poor, they will die broke? Then, what is in it? I'm going to give you 4. Let me, because I can give you 20. But let me just limit it to this number 4. The problem of evil is another question that is agitating the mind of man. Why will an evil person live, sleep, wake, have air, have sunshine, enjoy rain? Why? Why can't a person having evil mutation should sleep and not wake up? Why is evil coexisting with goodness? Sometimes, why is evil, you know, tries to reign over goodness? Why is evil trying to prevail over goodness? These are questions that is agitating the mind of man. And so when religion came, religion, in a way, brought answer to some of these problems, to some of these questions. It came as a searchlight to shine in our path, light to be able to see. We have illumination. So religion illuminated our mindset about numerous questions agitating the mind of man. So that is the importance of religion.
You know, 2 questions come into mind now, but the first one is that you made mention of the fact that some of these things, religion, are birthed out of beliefs. You know, someone wakes up, he believes this certain way. Another set of people wake up, they believe certain way. And they use that to find answers to their questions. But why does this always seem like they are always in competition? Because after centuries, we've seen this over and over, certain form of beliefs trying to compete with each other and one trying to overshadow each other. Why is this phenomenon?
The problem is not religion.
Okay.
The problem is the custodian of religion. Religion has no problem.
Okay.
Because religion is abstractism.
Okay.
It's like you say a house, that a house has a problem. No, it does not have a problem. Okay. The way you build your house is the way the house is going to look like. So as long as the house works in a certain way, that is how the house is going to be. Now, why we have conflicts with religion is because of custodian of religion. Now, listen to me. What is religion? Religion simply is a belief, okay, that has emanated from thorough questioning and introspection in the mind of man, trying to find answer to a phenomenon. So in the process of finding answer to a phenomenon, you decided to go deeper. You decided to dig deeper into phenomenon. And trying to go deeper make you to come up with certain belief. It comes as an assumption. So you use these assumptions as a way to answer agitating problems of life. So, and that is what religion is all about. So what who brought religion is man, the images of God, those who have come around to live in this celestial world, they have the origin of religion. But religion is passed over from generation to generation, from one people to another, from one individual to another individual. So now, in the process of handling religion, we may add our own ideologies to it. That is different from how you took it from your fathers or from the originator. So you drop certain things, you have certain things. In the process of religious progression, we stylishly drift away from the fundamentals.
Okay, so which means that most of the religions we have today have been diluted with too much of bias, if I can say that.
Of course, yes.
So whose fault is it? Is it from the person giving it or from the person receiving it? Because I believe that when person passing it has given instructions on how the religion is meant to be practiced, then it's up to the person receiving it to go in that direction. So whose fault is it? The person who has handed it over or the person who has received it?
I'm going to tell you, sincerely speaking, that it's not even the person handing it over that has a fault. The person that is handing it over, that's not the one that has the fault. The one that has the fault is the one collecting it.
Okay.
And let me tell you one thing about religion. Religion is original.
Okay, religion is original.
It's original. If I discover a belief, don't forget that the belief that I have discovered is a function of an effort. I dig deep. You don't become a religious figure by sleeping and waking up in your house. It is deeper than that. Okay? And that's why if you study religions very well and you look at people who are custodian of religion, they were not ordinary people. Many of them didn't live ordinary life like we are living now. Many of them lived in the wilderness. Many of them, they denied themselves of the pleasure and the enjoyment of life because of what they wanted to get from, the understanding they wanted to get. Because religion is trying to know a dimension of God. Who is the creator? Now, knowing the dimension of God is not something that you know on the plateau of God. You have to dig deep. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Now, if it has cost me a lot spiritually to be able to gather certain facts upon which my religious belief is standing, if I grow old and I want to hand that same thing over to my children, will my children go through the same rudiments of discipline I went through? Many of them will be able to do it. So what you hand over to them will be taken with levity. And so before you know it, little by little, the sacredness of religion then gets weakened as it moves from one generation to the other.
So let's now streamline into Nigeria. You made mention that religion in itself is original, but you know, it may have lost the sacredness as a result of how the people receiving it must have received it. But looking at Nigeria now, looking at the religions we have, can we say they are the original? as it may.
The religions we have, talking of...
Let's keep the two focus now. Two, so we can be direct, Christian and Islam, which are the two main religions in Nigeria.
Yes, see, I'm going to tell you that the religion we have now, which we practice in the present day religious context is our religion. We are not doing it the way it is handed over unto us. You know, the reason is because no matter how much you try to paint something that is white, no matter how much you want to paint it, the white is white. You can't call it another color. The white is white. When we allow civilization and the advance in technology. So you see, and what has been handed over to us has been manipulated through advancements in technology, okay? Through civilization, through governmental interferences and personal interests. So it has been waterlooed. So the religion we have presently now, we have at our disposal now, is not the authentic religion that was handed over to us by our fathers. And that is the reason why we have a lot of complexities. We have a lot of diversities. We have a lot of confusion in this present.
I was about to get that. Now, talking about complexities in terms of religion, you realize that for the two main religions we have in Nigeria, a lot is happening. A lot of complexities. You know, day in, day out, we see new versions of Christianity, for example. Day in, day out, we see new versions of Islam. And you keep asking, what is it that we are doing? Is it that people are only thinking about religion? Is it that only people are trying to be lazy and shying away from the effort needed to drive change and put in what needs to be put in? What's bringing about this phenomenon in terms of complexities? People are coming out with a new form of Christianity, new form of Islam, from the ones we've been seeing.
Let me tell you the truth. There are two major things that is inherent in every individual. Number one is potentially human being will love independence.
Okay?
Everyone loves independence. That is why let me give you an example. If you have a child, and once your child has grown up to a certain age, you know, he wants to enjoy certain freedom. So he wants to allow his opinion to prevail. So you will tell him, oh boy, no, don't do it this way. I say, daddy, no, that is where I want to do it. Because to him, he has less secondary school, he is now in higher institution, so he feels that I'm mature enough now to take this job for myself. So human being will love independence. Now, one of the things that drives independence is recognition. You want to be recognized. So because you want to be recognized, you want your voice to be heard. So as a result of that, what is going to happen to you is that you will want to stay alone, you want to stand alone so that you will lend a voice.
Doesn't that connote being selfish?
The second one is selfishness. These two things is a virus that eats every human being. Let me give you an example. Have you not wondered why? Sometimes I imagine, I try to ask myself, why will somebody have 10 cars parked in his garage? And as somebody close by in your neighborhood that doesn't have one. And you don't feel it that out of these 10 cars that I have, let me spare one and give it to you. But you prefer to allow all the cars to live fallow. One traditional ruler died there a couple of months ago. And you come and look at in his garage, cars. Cars since 1982.
Wow.
Cars of 1974 that are dilapidated, rotting away. That is selfishness of man. You see, these two things is what is driving a man into reforming religion. So what we have the present religious tablet is reformation of religion. You know, I want to bring my own. I want to launch my own version of it. I want to lend my own idea to this so that everybody will know me. Everybody will recognize me. So this drive of independence and selfishness, because whether you like it or not, religion has its advantages and disadvantages. So one of the greatest advantages of on religion is economic gain. So, and because religion brings economic gain.
How? How is that so?
I have told you, religion answers the problem of humanity. Okay? Okay? And so, everybody looking for answers to problems will go to religion. Because religion has the answer. And you can't come to religion to give you the answer. The religion that has the answer is in the custody of a man who wants to collect something to give you what you want. So that is the economic gain that is there. And so because of that economic gain, everybody who is naturally selfish, we want to build this own castle around religion. So that's why we have complexity and diversity.
So is that why we seem to sort of have some level of manipulation by way of religion? For example, the case which we had weeks back, where about some children and adults were removed from a basement of a church. And most of the confession was that the priests and the pastors kept them there to isolate them from their family, telling them that they don't need education, that all they need is to wait for the kingdom of God.
Now that is,
because that's manipulation.
I'm telling you, that is one of the disadvantages of religion. You see, unfortunately, man didn't know that religion, man was not created for religion. Religion was created for man. Now, in that instance that you have just given to me now, it is a clear indication of a misconception of religion. You see, there's something you call the message of a religion. Every religion has a message. That message, okay, is religion as a custodian. The custodian of religion passes the language of religion to people who want to listen in form of a message.
Okay.
Now, the way it is that as a custodian of religion, what you believe that when you say religion in a way is the Almighty coming together, coming in the form of humanity. So, it comes. And that for the Almighty to have come in the form of humanity, he has decided to tabernacle in the heart of a man who is a custodian of the Almighty.
So it's up to the man to change and so move now, in that direction.
In a way, what you carry about as a religious man is a message that you have received from the Almighty. And that message, you are meant to pass it across to people. Now, if the message you carry has been misconcepted or misreceived, if you have been misinformed, what happens at the long run is that you will misinform the people. You have a misinformation, then whatsoever you are going to inform the people is a misinformation. And that is just clearly what has happened in the case of the pastor having some people putting them in a custody, and then they are saying they are waiting for Jesus. It's just, that is the other side of religion, which if care is not taken, will make you to look like a madman. Misinformation. It got it wrong. It passed it across to the people. They got it wrong.
So, still putting Nigeria in context now, looking at how Nigeria is a very religious country, can we say that this has hampered our growth, or can we say it has helped our growth as a nation, being a religious nation?
You see, religion is 98% spiritual and only 2% economical.
Not physical now.
Eh?
I was thinking that if it's spiritual, then the opposite should be physical. But you...
Oh, let me just use the word physical.
Okay.
98% spiritual and 2% physical. everything, 98% of what religion explains is spiritual. You don't use that to solve physical problems. What religion should do is religion should put us in a better frame of mind to prepare us spiritually to fight spiritual battle to balance our physical life. Because everything that happens in the physical is controlled from the spiritual.
But you as a theologian, do people have this mindset?
They don't.
People who claim they have this religion, this religion everywhere, do they have this mindset?
They don't.
Another problem of custodian.
That is the reason why we have complexities. And let me tell you, people who are theologians, who are scholars of the Bible, you hardly see them on radio, you hardly see them on television, you hardly see them, they hardly make noise. Because most of what they say will be highly debated. Their statement is highly controversial. So they prefer to just be quiet and say, okay, let us see how far your ideologies will go. Let us see how far your ideologies will take you. So we'll just cross our arms, begin to look at the way things are going, and we do our own things in our own way.
So many questions are just bugging my mind thinking about this. When we talk about the spiritual and the physical, so can we now then say a spiritual measure can help our country grow, for example, looking at how Nigeria is? Can we say the spiritual can help Nigeria?
Listen, my brother, religion is spiritual. We have it already.
Okay. So how come it's not yielding results?
We are not using it directly. We are not using it rightly. That's a problem. When you go to so many developed countries, let me give you a very simple example. Water, which is characterized in our seas and our rivers, plays a very significant role in the development of anxiety. If you abuse water, you can prosper. It is spiritual. Now, if you understand the proper tenets of religion, then you won't take a refuse and drop it inside water. If you understand religion, you won't do it. So sometimes I wonder when somebody says I'm a religious person that you do certain things, I say, you don't understand the religion you are talking about. The religion you say you are practicing, you don't even understand it really. If you go to other country that preserves water, they don't pray the way we pray. They don't go to mosque the way we go to mosque. They don't go to church the way we go to church. They prosper more. The reason is because I said to you, religion is 98% spiritual and only 2% physical. And that 2%, once you take care of the 98% spirituality of religion, the 2% of physicality will definitely make your society to be the envy of nations. Now, if you don't put religion in the right perspective,
okay,
there will always be problem and anarchy in your society. For example, if you don't treat water well, you can't prosper. Because water carries 70% of the wealth of nations. It's spiritual. It's religious. And if you don't abuse it and suffer the percussion, maintain it and enjoy the benefits.
You know, I was thinking right now, this whole concept of spirituality, what is it even about? Spirituality, what is it about?
When you say spirituality, spirituality simply means a phenomenon that is beyond our human understanding.
Mm.
So, because it is beyond our human understanding, you need to dig deeper. You need to ask questions. You need to introspect before you find answers.
Mm.
And that is spiritual.
So, does it mean that many Nigerians don't introspect to find the answers that can help us lead a good country? Can we say that?
Are we not introspecting? No. We introspect.
Okay.
You know the problem with our thinking, our mind? Spirituality flows with a right mindset. It's just like as a farmer, you want to plant a particular crop and you know the type of soil that is good for a particular crop to thrive. That is just the way spirituality is.
Mm.
For you to introspect along the spirit line, you need the mind, okay, that is geared, gingered towards spiritual drive.
Mm.
If you don't have that mind, it can't work. No matter how much you introspect, what you eventually come up with will be far away from spirituality.
Mm. Is that why we are seeing the results we see in our country today?
Of course, yes.
Mm.
Of course, yes.
Mm. Man, this is a whole lot to take in, you know, because it bugs my mind every time thinking that, you know, we are religious people. People pray, you know. Nigerians love to pray, but I like to think that even with the prayers, it looks like it's getting worse.
No, no, no. When you talk about prayer, I'm very sorry to tell you this. Most of what we call prayer is not prayer.
Hmm.
It's a noise.
Oh, interesting.
You walk in a radio station, and the radio station, the Yoruba Coast radio station, Astro Magbisi. You know, it is before that it is Astro Magbisi, but now you even have medium by which you get feedback from people.
Most of what we pray, we call prayers, is a noise making. Because what you are calling your prayers is all moving beyond your roof. Now let me shock you. Many people will say, I prayed and I have an answer. Most of what we call answer to prayers is not really answer to prayer. It's just a chance.
Hmm.
It's just a chance just happening, taking over, you know, event of events and time, you know, brooding over what you call or your supposed prayer. I'm going to give you two examples. Number one, Jesus Christ said, you prayed and you received not because you have prayed amiss. Now let me just give you a simple example. In the Bible, two men, Jesus gave this parable himself. Two men went to the temple to pray. And one is a Pharisee. You know, a Pharisee is like a religious person, somebody that understands, a custodian of religion.
Mm.
As a Pharisee. And he got to the temple and he was walking down length and breadth of the temple, and he said, Lord, I thank you. I'm a righteous man. You know, I love you. I fast 3 times a week. I give alms to the poor. I'm not like this legacy. Now, he was blowing his trumpet, and the other man was a sinner who could not even look up to him. And he was just at the corner, was saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a legacy. And Jesus said, the one who humbled himself went home justified. But the one who was babbling, didn't receive anything. But he would have assumed, he prayed. But his prayer was nothing to write home about. That is just the way most of us will pray. I'm going to further give you certain examples. You can't pray for your enemy to die, or you pray for the downfall of your enemy, for example, and you think you have prayed. Because the book of religion clearly states it that you don't pray for the downfall of your heaven. So if you do that, you are wasting your time. Because the one who gave you religion cannot contradict what he has said. Just because you feel this is the popular way to do it. Let me give you an example. You can't pray and hold somebody in your heart. You hold somebody in your heart, somebody offended you, you are not forgiving that person. You still hold the annoyance, you still hold it in your heart, and you go to pray. God is not going to answer you. So you have quite a lot of do's and don'ts in prayers that many of us will break. So it will eventually amount to waste of time at the end of the day.
Just to bring this home and drive it in context. So how should Nigerians pray for Nigeria, even as we expect that things will change? As it is now, people are praying concerning this 2023 election that, you know, God just select good leaders. It's not about saying whether this or that. It's just about God selecting the good leaders. You know, so what should be the right prayers for Nigeria if Nigerians are to pray?
Thank you very, very much. I'm going to tell you that it's a waste of time praying that God should give us good leaders. God should pick over. That's part of the problem we are having. That is part of misunderstanding the concept of religion. God don't fix nations.
Please say it again.
God do not fix nations. God don't. Man fixes. You shouldn't drag God into it. So if you pray from now till in the next 1,000 years, God will do nothing if we don't rise up to that responsibility. Let me just give you a very simple example. You can't expect me to provide food for my children, eh? And give the food and put the food on their table. Do they expect me to come and feed them? No. You don't expect me to come and feed them. What God needs to do for us as a nation, He has. It is left for us to do our part. Our part is to rise up and fix it. If you don't fix it, it's your problem. It's your problem. Oh, somebody will tell me that, oh, no. What are you talking about? But Israel prayed and God brought out Moses to save them from the land of Egypt. Are you Israelite? Nigeria is not Israel. What was peculiar to Israel was peculiar to Israel because God used Israel as a prototype. It was a demonstrator. God used Israel to demonstrate something. So Israel is a specimen. I can never be, if I am a researcher, and out of so many elements, if I pick something as my specimen, I take care of that my specimen. What happens to the rest, I don't care. Israel is a specimen of God. So God used Israel being a specimen. He was using Israel to demonstrate a dispensation in the laws of the church age. Now, but Nigeria is not Israel. We have to, every nations of the world that had risen from obscurity, they rose to fix their nations. So if we want the betterment of Nigeria, we have to rise up and fix it. You cannot, you know, going back to your question, and you said, what is the prayer we should pray? It's not God fix Nigeria. The prayer that God expects every Nigerian to pray, regardless of your religious belief, is God, let your kingdom come. You see, when we ask the kingdom of God to come, when we wrestle, when we engage in that warfare, in that spiritual warfare, praying to God, asking God, Lord, let your kingdom come. The kingdom of God represents light. The kingdom of God represents goodness. And so when the kingdom of God reigns more, then what happens is that there will be more goodness. There will be more peace. There will be more tranquility. There will be less of activities of evil. And then we have more people. So when we have more people who are thinking good, then it is better, because when you have more people thinking good, what happens is that the disorder will be minimized.
So we need more people thinking right.
We need more people thinking right, and it can only happen when the kingdom of God leave the world in our time. And that is going to be our prayer. And that is the prayer that God expects everyone to pray. Listen, no matter how much you struggle, the Bible says when an evil man reigns, the people suffer. If you have somebody who does not think right, who is evil, who is influenced by ungodliness, becomes your leader, the people under him is going to suffer, because he's not going to think of anything good. He won't promote anything that is good. But when you have more good people in the ends of affair of nations, then there will be peace of mind, and then goodness can duplicate. Goodness can pass over every human activities and every human endeavor. But if the reverse is the case, we just continue to suffer. And no matter how much you try to pray and do good, one goodness inside 100 evil, that goodness will be choked off. And so that is why we pray that God should allow his kingdom to reign.
So to bring this home quickly, so that we can round off, two questions. Now we have people perpetrating evil by way of religion, especially in Nigeria. I know that happens worldwide, but it's becoming more peculiar to Nigeria day in, day out, and it's looking like religion is the only thing that we know how to do. How should we deal with this? How should the government deal with this? How should people deal with this?
Unfortunately, the government is a product of religion.
Okay.
The government is a product of religion. And so because the government is a product of religion, it cannot fight back the system that has produced it. It can't. Because if you want to try and fight the system that has produced you, you will be labeled. You will be called names. And then, so that sometimes makes the government to put a kind of I don't care attitude. They just stylishly put off their eyes from religious irregularities, even when it is there. If you cast your mind back to while I was introducing this subject, religion is not evil. Now, why we have so many bad eggs in the name of religion today is those who are custodian of religion, they have labeled religion in an evil way simply because of the economic drive. Economic drive, economic advantage. That's what has made religion to look like it's evil. There is nothing evil, there's nothing demonic about religion. But because of my selfishness, because I want to be independent, because of economic and financial gain, we try to paint it another color. Let me give you a very simple example. If you are an hunter and you have a friend or a colleague who's an hunter, this is religion. You must not in any way sleep with the wife of your colleague. It's an abomination. This is really big. When we were growing up, so many years ago, in our villages, hardly will you see in the markets pepper, yam seller, tomato seller, everyone in the market will leave all their products in the market when they are even going home, and nobody dare touch it. Because what do you need to do? You just need to put a little signal, a little mark of ownership on your thing. Once you put that mark there, nobody touches it. But today, what has happened? The thing has turned. So you realize that what is driving people outside the tenets of correct religion is economic and financial gain.
Can that be corrected?
No. Because it has eaten deep. It didn't start one day, and it's not going to end one day. It has spread across the nooks and crannies of religious circle, young and old, male and female, have been caught in this web. So from where do you want to start to eliminate it? From where? From where? And unfortunately, there is nothing government can even do. The only thing that is going to put an end to this is the Almighty Himself. The Almighty Himself is the only one that can put an end to it. It once happened one time in the history of humanity when the whole heart was in religion decadency. So the Almighty said, I have to put a stop to this. And he brought in flood. And he said, this is the only means. Anyone that enters into this ark will be saved. And those who didn't enter into the ark was wiped off. So the Almighty now started the human race from the people, the 8 people that made into that ark. The whole heart is in disarray. We have all missed it. We are finding our footing back. The only one that can take us back to the language is the Almighty. If he doesn't do it, my brother, I don't see what can happen.
Thank you so much. This has been very enlightening, I must say. And I so much appreciate sharing your time with me on this episode. Thank you very much. I hope that when I come next time, you will grab me the audience also.
Of course, yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. I am Kayode Sonny. Until I come your way next time, I say stay lifted.